Worthship. In a quiet neighborhood in Kansas City stood a house that had been a home for nearly half a century. Its rooms, closets, and attic were filled with treasures collected over two lifetimes. A porcelain music box from a honeymoon in Paris, a stack of yellowed letters tied with twine, pressed flowers from a long-forgotten garden. To the untrained eye, it looked like clutter. To those who lived within its walls, it was a vessel of memories. They called it their worthship because each belonging was a little vessel carrying a story and a piece of their worth. The husband had always been the one to tend the ship. He knew the provenance of every item. The china bowl purchased at a roadside bazaar in New Mexico, the lace tablecloth inherited from his mother, the ornate watch he surprised his wife with on her birthday. With time, however, age dulled his sharp memory and made it difficult for him to remember where things came from or why they mattered. His hands shook when he tried to wind the watch. His eyes glazed over when he stared at the letters he had once penned so carefully. Decisions that had always come easily slipped beyond his grasp. He could not help her navigate this part of their journey, so she bore the task of deciding what to keep, what to sell, and what to give away. Each item evoked questions. Should she assign it a price so someone else might appreciate it, or release it freely and hope it found a soul tender enough to cherish it? Some pieces that looked like junk were rare, others that gleamed held no real worth beyond the memories they stirred. Across from him, his wife sat among their possessions, surveying the room, feeling the weight of the years and of the decisions ahead. She had been the heart of their home for decades, the keeper of daily rituals and the guardian of stories. The house that had once felt like a museum of their love now seemed overburdened, in need of lightening. She was torn. Should she sell the things that once cost them dearly, putting a price on memories so others might appreciate them? Or should she give them away, trusting that someone else would recognize their hidden value? She knew that some of the pieces that looked worn and ordinary were in fact rare and worth much. Some that sparkled under the light held little value beyond there. Sentiment. The patina on an old copper kettle testified to years of warmth and meals, and though a stranger might dismiss it as tarnished metal, she knew it was priceless. Should she assign it a price so someone else might appreciate it, or release it freely, and hope it found a soul tender enough to cherish it? Some pieces that looked like junk were rare. Others that gleamed held no real worth beyond the memories they stirred. Another old friend came to help her sort through the worthship. Together, they unwrapped each object, shared the story behind it, and weighed the options. To sell, the friend said gently, is to assign a fair value so that it may continue its journey with those who understand its worth. To give away is to release it into the world and trust that it finds a heart kind enough to cherish it. They resisted the temptation to bargain or haggle. This was not about getting a deal, but about honoring a life. As they worked, memories surfaced. Laughter at dinner parties, tears at funerals, the sense of safety that came from holding something familiar. The friend who worked in hospice saw similar stories often, people of all ages facing mortality, deciding what to keep and what to let go. In the end, every life, like the worthship, carried belongings that had meant something once. Some treasures remained invisible until a discerning eye recognized their worth. Others sparkled but faded quickly when their sentimental glow dimmed. When the last box was sealed, and the last memento chosen, the wife paused to look around the emptying room. She realized that the true worth of her life was not bound up in porcelain or silver, but in the love she had shared, the memories she had made, and the people who had walked alongside her. The worthship had served its purpose. Now it was time to let the tide carry the belongings to new shores and to hold on to what could not be boxed or priced, the invisible currency of a life well lived. Another dear friend, accustomed to walking alongside families at the end of life, also came to help her sort through it all. Together, they lifted things from shelves, unwrapped them, and told their stories. They resisted the temptation to bargain or devalue. This was not about getting a deal, but about honoring what had been. The friend saw the deep care in the wife's face, the way she glanced at her husband too. See if any recognition flickered in his eyes. He stared at the mountains of belongings with a befuddled expression, aware that something important was happening, but unable to name it. The roles they had played for decades, he the provider and she the nurturer, had quietly reversed. The trembling of his hands was no longer from work, but from age. As they worked, parallels emerged between sorting a household and shepherding a life. In hospice, the friend had seen how quickly time could fold, how even young lives accumulate treasures and memories that must eventually be sorted and shared. Whether at 90 or 30, each of us must decide what we carry forward and what we let go. Some of the items that had blended into the background were, the friend realized, far more valuable than anyone knew. Others sparkled until their sentimental glow dimmed. In every case, The worth lay not just in the object, but in the love invested in it. When the last box was labeled and the last memento chosen, the wife sat back and looked at her husband. Though his eyes no longer held the sharpness of earlier years, they still reflected a quiet trust in her. She realized that the true wealth of their life was not bound up in porcelain or silver, but in the invisible currency of love, memories, and shared journeys. The worthship had carried them faithfully. Now it was time to let the tide carry its treasures to new shores and to hold on tightly to what could not be boxed or priced. The story of their life, once physical and tangible, had become spirit. I breathed, a life-giving flow meant to be shared and to bring comfort to others.